It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Hers is one of the most prominent voices for women's health care in the country. I'm joined by Planned Parenthood President Cecile Richards. Since joining the organization in 2006, she's advocated for sexual health and reproductive rights during a time when political leaders have threatened funding and support. She was in Pittsburgh last weekend rallying volunteers and training them on how to counter political attacks and leverage support from local leaders. She joins us now by phone. Cecile Richards, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. Great to be here.
Pittsburgh has the largest Planned Parenthood volunteer base in the country. Was Pittsburgh chosen for that reason?
Well, that was one reason, of course, and we actually brought 1,000 young people from all across the country to Pittsburgh for 3 days of training and organizing together. So we ended with a rally, but it was really an incredible event. It was the largest gathering of volunteers ever in the history of Planned Parenthood. We're 100 years old. And Pittsburgh was a perfect place. It's a progressive city. We have a lot of volunteers, as you said, there in the area. Pennsylvania itself is a very critical state to us, both in terms of the health care that we deliver, but also, of course, this November in the election. So it ended up being just a perfect place to bring all these people together from very different walks of life.
Explain what these training sessions involve, and what was your experience in the Steel City like last weekend with regard to those?
So Planned Parenthood is obviously a large healthcare provider to more than 2.5 million people every year, but a very important part of our work is done through the Planned Parenthood Action Fund, and that really was the organization that convened these 1,000 volunteers in Pittsburgh. And it was a fabulous opportunity with a ton of young people from across the country to talk about the political attacks on women's health and reproductive health more broadly, how we are actually winning and fighting back against those attacks in states from Oklahoma to Mississippi to Seattle, Washington. And it was a real chance for them to share tactics and experience from very, very different kinds of states, but most importantly, to unite about the importance of this November's election in electing folks across the country up and down the ballot who support women's health and rights as well as reproductive access more broadly. And it was an incredibly energetic meeting. We've never had anything as large, as diverse, as many people, certainly never as many young people. And of course, they all went back to their states fired up and ready to go for the next 5 months.
And how do you account for that? When you talk about the way in which people are fired up, is it because of there's been so much pushback against reproductive rights, particularly of late in the United States and here in Pennsylvania, or are there other factors involved?
I think that's certainly part of it, Paul, in that for many young people, they never dreamed they would actually have to fight to preserve access to Planned Parenthood. You know, we're a healthcare provider to 1 in 5 women in America. And the fact that now some members of Congress, as well as those Republicans who are running for president, have taken aim at Planned Parenthood and committed to shut it down has really galvanized people across the country. And again, particularly young people, a whole new generation of young leaders. In fact, in the last 10 years, we've moved from 3 million supporters to now nearly 9 million supporters. And the vast majority of those are young people who have really taken up the charge. I think what was exciting there in Pittsburgh was to see it's not only young women, it's young men as well. And it's folks from every single different part of the country and every different walk of life. And that is what we find with reproductive health care access. Everyone needs it, regardless of their party identification, their gender, their background. And it's, I think Planned Parenthood is an enormously unifying force. And also it creates a lot of energy among young people who want to take a stand and defend the right of their generation to have reproductive health care access.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is Planned Parenthood President Cecile Richards. The allegations against Planned Parenthood stemming from highly edited videos purporting that the organization was selling fetal tissue for profit must have really tested your resolve. And of course, at the same time, this was inciting abortion opponents. What was it like to deal with all of that?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, we are used to being under attack by those people in this country who would like to end access to safe and legal abortion and in fact, and access to birth control as well. But these were particularly vicious attacks, and of course, these allegations have been completely disproven. In fact, we saw in Texas where a Republican grand jury not only exonerated Planned Parenthood, but indicted the two perpetrators of this scam. I do think that one of the unintended consequences of these attacks on us and on our patients and on our clinics has been a rallying, again, of young people, many of whom we saw in Pittsburgh, but who we're seeing across the country, who realize that the threats to reproductive rights and access are very real, and they are now training themselves and reaching out to their peers, organizing on college campuses, organizing in their hometowns to make sure that we not only protect, but we advance access to reproductive health care in America. Unfortunately, it's just, you know, Planned Parenthood is 100 years old this year, and of course, we were started in controversy when our founder was thrown in jail for providing information about birth control to women. I think it's just part of what it means to make social change is that you have to deal with those people who don't want to see that change happen.
And yet here we are, 100 years later, and over 40 years after Roe versus Wade, and certainly this is an election year, so reproductive rights are still a significant issue, as it has been in the past. But why do you think that anti-abortion rhetoric is still so strong, and why hasn't the argument been settled when abortion has been legal now in the United States for over 40 years?
Well, actually, I do believe the issue has been settled. And in fact, poll after poll will tell you that the American people feel very strongly that abortion should still be available to patients, and it should be safe, and it should be legal. And ironically, one of the things that you can find agreement across the board is that access to family planning should be available to everyone. In fact, we've made enormous strides. We're now at a 30-year low for unintended pregnancy in America, a 40-year low for teen pregnancy in America. And yet there are politicians who, I believe, just to curry favor with some of the more extreme elements of the political spectrum, have committed to end access to Planned Parenthood, which means ending access to family planning for millions of folks in this country. I don't think it's popular. I don't believe it actually helps them. I think it's bad public policy, and I think it's bad political policy. But that obviously is a job that we're going to have to work hard on this November through the Planned Parenthood Action Fund and through these hundreds of activists who've now been trained, is to make sure that every voter knows what's at stake in the election and where the candidates stand on issues of access to reproductive health care.
Is there a way that you are finding to engage people in a productive dialogue, particularly when people get so emotional? It's a very emotional issue, and those who are opposed to abortion, as you well know, are not shy about expressing their emotions. So when that is coming at you, how do you try to counter it? What sorts of things do you present? And it may be some of what you just described, but I'm curious what your strategy is.
Well, I think the most important thing for all of us is to focus on the people that turn to us for care. And I have been so proud of women, including there in the state of Pennsylvania, women and families who have stood up publicly to talk about their own decisions to end pregnancy. In fact, I was just with three incredibly brave patients who spoke before the press about a very damaging bill that was being pushed through the legislature to end access to abortion for many women. And they talked about their own very much wanted pregnancies and what had happened and the difficulty sometimes in receiving compassionate health care. I believe that the American people are empathetic with the situation of women and families and pregnancies. And as long as we focus on taking care of people, providing them the care that they need without judgment, without shame, and that's really been what Planned Parenthood has been about for the last 100 years, and that's why the American people continue to support us in overwhelming numbers. And I do think it's important to remember that people can distinguish between their own personal feelings about abortion, about what they would do in the case of an unintended pregnancy, and that is absolutely their right. It's such a personal matter. but they're able to distinguish between their own personal feelings and what they believe every other woman should do. And that's what we stand for at Planned Parenthood. It's just making sure that every woman has right to the best medical care possible, the best opportunity for counseling, and that every woman we trust to make the decision that's best for her and her family.
A Pennsylvania legislator has introduced a bill that would amend the state's Abortion Control Act to make abortion a crime after 20 weeks of pregnancy instead of the current 24. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf has said he will veto this bill. But I am curious as to why you think that more states are trying, in some cases, to scale back abortion rights and creating obstacles. Are you finding that any of this discourages women from exercising their right to choose?
Well, let me say specifically there on Pennsylvania, it's very important that I know that Governor Wolf took that position. And that was actually the press conference that I was present at, where three women in public talked about their very, very difficult pregnancies, very much wanted pregnancies, ones that they had to terminate after finding out that they had severe complications and medical complications, the kinds of decisions that would have been much either further complicated or made impossible by the Pennsylvania law. What we're finding across the country is that absolutely the barriers that are being put up for women to access safe and legal abortion, including in my home state of Texas, are making it very, very difficult, but particularly for low-income women who already have the least access to health care. And I really believe it is these are laws that are punitive towards women. They're shaming of women. They're not intended to help women's health care one single bit. And of course, not only are they ending access to safe and legal abortion for many women, they're also ending access to all kinds of preventive health care. I mean, in Texas, the effort by the governor to shut down Planned Parenthood has instead resulted in the shuttering of dozens of women's health centers, many of which simply provided birth control, cancer screenings, and well woman visits to low-income women. And we're already seeing in Texas, and there was just a research report put out, that we're seeing less access to better forms of birth control in Texas and higher rates of unintended pregnancy. So these attacks on women's health, they don't do a single thing for women or families, and they really do harm women who I believe need more compassion, more access to health care, not less.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is Cecile Richards, the president of Planned Parenthood. And Ms. Richards, we have just a couple more questions for you. And I want to go back to the rally last weekend. As you noted, young people made up the majority of the attendees at last weekend's rally. Do you think that this is the demographic that has a greater tolerance for organizations like Planned Parenthood, more so than older generations?
Well, I wouldn't say tolerance. I'd say downright enthusiasm. I mean, we have so many young people that want to be involved in Planned Parenthood. We can't even provide them enough opportunities to get involved. It is overwhelming. And quite candidly, with all the attacks that the Republican members of Congress, or at least the leadership, have been going after us on, I cannot go out on the street without someone stopping, a young person stopping me and saying, you know, I see what's happening with Planned Parenthood. I support the organization. I want to get involved. So I feel like there is just a renewed interest and enthusiasm and advocacy and commitment. You know, what we're seeing, talking about this November, millennial voters are going to be the largest single voting bloc in the November elections. This is the first time that they've been the biggest voting bloc ever. And these are voters who I believe strongly not only support Planned Parenthood, but they support LGBT rights, they support reproductive health care rights and access, they support immigration rights. Frankly, they support everything that is the polar opposite of what Donald Trump's agenda is, and they're going to be a potent voting force in this election. And that was what was exciting about being in Pittsburgh, is seeing how many of these young people were getting trained, were getting active. They're getting to know each other, and they're going to be a force to be reckoned with this November.
In your 10 years leading Planned Parenthood, what have you experienced that's really surprised you, good or bad?
Well, I'd say first, our biggest, most important victory was getting the Affordable Care Act to cover birth control for all women now at no cost. And this was a long, hard-fought battle. It shouldn't have been as hard as it was, but it is going to be transformative in the lives of young women in America. The ability to access birth control that they choose, not what's cheapest, is going to actually help us reduce unintended pregnancy even more. And I'd say the thing that has pleasantly surprised me the most in my 10 years is the profound and deep love for Planned Parenthood there is around the country. I mean, I run into women now in their 60s and 70s who remember going to Planned Parenthood. They remember their mothers, starting with Margaret Sanger back in the day, as well as running into young women in their 20s who will say, Planned Parenthood was there for me when I got out of school and had no healthcare provider. This is an organization which is there for people oftentimes when they need someone the most, to be a listening ear and a welcome healthcare provider without judgment and without shame. And that relationship is it's profound. You know, our slogan is care, or at least our statement is care no matter what. And that is what we try to provide every single day. And I'm enormously proud to be associated with Planned Parenthood.
My guest has been Cecile Richards. She's president of Planned Parenthood and was in town last weekend for a volunteer training session. She joined us by phone. Cecile Richards, thank you so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Paul. It was great to be in Pittsburgh.
And more Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA.